Hey, Bill, how are you? Congratulations.
Glenn, Fred, hey, Steve, how you guys doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, you get this first season over with anyway, huh? Now you can move on. Now the real stuff.
Yeah, we're 0-0.
Did you get what you wanted to get out of yesterday's game? Certainly looked like there was a lot of situational stuff as well during the course of the game. Was there more than just going out and playing a game?
Well, I think we got an opportunity to, you know, play against a, you know, good competitive football team, and then play some guys who haven't had a chance to play as much and give them an opportunity for some playing time and, you know, let them go and see how, you know, sharpen them up in case they need to play here, you know, in the next few weeks.
Did you tell the quarterbacks the type of rotation you're going to have with them, or just spring it on them?
No, I tell everybody to be ready. You never know how rotation's going to go during the game, so we just tell everybody to be ready to go. We'll see how it goes.
Did you put Hoyer in mid-drive or during a drive that Brady started? Did he go in and then come back out? Was that a simulation of an injury scenario?
Yeah. I mean, you never really have to go in, so.
Right.
And we just tossed him in there and let him go for a while and then put Tom back in.
Right.
And I noticed you used a lot of offensive line combinations. You had Bulmer over at the left tackle. Ojanaka played both of the tackles. Was that just to give each guy a feel, because you never know what the substitution pattern if somebody gets hurt during a playoff game?
Well, yeah, normally we go into a game with 7 offensive linemen active, so if somebody's going to have to, you know, play more than one position. So it gave us a chance to move some people around and give everybody a little play time there.
How much dinged up were the receivers that were held out, you know, Welker and Branch, and how much was it just giving extra time to the younger kids and guys that haven't had as much playing time?
Well, you know, we definitely wanted to let those guys play some, and they did. I thought that Edelman and Price and Brandon Tate, who, you know, has played a decent amount, but, you know, really got to play more yesterday. You know, I thought that was good for them, and, you know, good for both quarterbacks to be able to throw to them. So I think that worked out all right.
Edelman, that great run he had, and looks like he has great running ability. What is it that will get him over the hump? Is it running better routes, you know, catching ball in clutch situations? Because obviously when he gets the ball underneath him, he can run as well as anyone we've seen.
Yeah, well, I think everybody has a lot of confidence in Julian, and of course, Wes has had a real productive year, so is Dion, and so are tight end. So, you know, it's hard to get everybody in the game at once, but Julian got a chance to play yesterday, and I thought he did well with his opportunities.
Was Danny Woodhead dinged up, or did you yank him because he fumbled?
Wow. Get out.
I'm just asking, that's all.
Yeah, the medical staff held him out for a little while, and then we didn't see any point in putting him back in after that.
Yep.
Talking about Danny Woodhead, have you ever dealt in a situation before, Bill, where you've had so many players? I mean, it's amazing how many undrafted free agent players are having significant roles with this football team. Have you ever dealt with a team before like this, in which not only did you have guys that weren't heralded guys out there, they're not football fantasy guys out there, but you've had to change a lot of them on the fly? That defensive line on a week-to-week rotation, we've seen different people make significant plays. Have you ever seen anything like this before, dealt with anything like this before?
Well, I think every year you have players on your team that are under, or at least we've had players on our team that have been undrafted to come in and play significant roles for us. So
Not more than normal.
Well, I don't know what normal is. Every year is a little bit different, but you know, I think you see that in pretty much every season. We've had a string of them, from the Ryan Wendells to Eric Alexander, Mike Wright, of course Hoyer, you know, and then some late picks, you know, like Castle, of course, and Patrick Pass and Edelman, guys like that that have come at the end of the draft too, sixth, seventh rounders. So, you know, once you get to camp, everybody's, you know, pretty much on equal footing. Let the best players play.
Let me just ask one follow up on that. And that you've had some of these guys join you into the season. So if they're in camp, I get it. They're around for the whole camp, so they're learning the system and understanding it. But you've had guys that have popped in here second, third, eighth, tenth week of the year that have made some significant plays out there. How unusual is that? Unusual?
Well, I think it's you know, a question of where guys get an opportunity, and some guys get that opportunity and make the most of it, and Woody is a good example of that. Tom Brady's another good example. We've had other players that have come in and had an opportunity to play and haven't done as much with it. So I think the bottom line there, and the credit goes to the players, you know, of being ready to go, being able to take advantage of those opportunities, and you know, sometimes that works out, and sometimes it, it doesn't work out as well. But we've had a couple of examples this year where Eric Moore and Woodhead, you know, two good examples of guys that have come in and made good contributions for us that weren't here to start the season.
Coach, one of the big hubbubs beginning of the season was
Shane Graham. I mean, really putting him in there too.
Yeah, right.
Was you having no specific coordinators, offense and defense. One of the things people talk about is you being more hands-on with the defensive players this year as before and how they've reacted to it. Is there any truth to the fact that you are more hands-on now with the defensive players and able to teach these young kids specifically what you want when you've taken on that extra role?
I don't know about that, Fred. I think you know, I've tried to coach the team the best I could every year I've been here, and some years that's been more in one area or less in another, and sometimes that's just circumstances or the way it goes. So I don't think it's anything that's that calculated. Just try to, you know, I try to do the best I can, and if I feel like there's an area where I can help the team out, then that's where it is. When Coach Rabine died in 2001, you know, I coached the quarterbacks with Charlie that year. So I think it depends, you know, varies from year to year.
So you're taking credit for Brady's passing now.
No, I'm just saying that I've spent different time with different areas of the team at different points, you know, during my time here. So this year's a little different from last year, but last year was a little different than the year before, and the year before was a little different than the year before that. So,
has this been very satisfying for you, though, seeing these young kids, especially on defense, coming together more and gelling as a unit? Then, you know, look at how many young kids you have on defense.
Well, I think that we're, you know, we've done some things as a team. We've certainly improved over the course of the year. We're doing some things better now than we did earlier in the year, but I still think there's a lot of room for improvement. I think we got a lot of work to do, and I think there's still, you know, a lot of strides we can make going forward. So, you know, we'll get back to work on that this week and see where that takes us.
How will your preparation this week go with somewhat of an unknown factor? There's three teams you could end up playing. How does the coaching staff approach this week?
Well, I think the big thing that we need to do is work on things that we need to work on generically, no matter who we play. I think there's some carryover in the teams that we could be playing. For example, all three teams defensively run some version of a 34 defense, the mm-hmm. Jets, Baltimore, and Kansas City. So there are things we could work on there that would be somewhat, you know, would carry over somewhat from team to team, as an example. But I just think overall our execution in certain plays and also just situational football, just staying on top of different situations, end of the game situations, red area, third down, goal line, short yardage, all those things we can sharpen up on those. So we'll try to do some of that too.
Was there anything you took out of the Miami game that wasn't positive?
No, I think there's a lot of things we could have done better in that game. You know, I think we left a lot of plays on the field, but fortunately we made enough. We made more than they did, so, you know, that's good. But, you know, I think there's still, when you actually look at the game, sit down and break it down, there's a lot of technique things and some execution things. We missed some assignments, so I think there's a number of things that we can – players will see, and they'll see right away that, you know, how things could have been better, how they need to be better when we play our next game.
I remember when you brought in Gronkowski as a second-round pick, and everyone was like, because he had a hurt arm, right, and he probably won the first round.
Back.
And
back.
I talked to you. Was it back?
Yeah, missed all year.
And I talked to you about him, and I said, well, it would be a good blocker. You said, you should see him split the scene. I mean, did you ever envision him being this good a player?
Well, he's a big target. You know, I know the quarterbacks love to throw to him, and when I stand back behind the offense and watch the plays develop, you know, he's a hard guy to miss there. You know, he's a huge target, and he's got a long arms. He has a big reach, and it's really hard to overthrow him. He can go up and get those balls, and so it's you know, it's nice to have that as a target to throw to as a quarterback. So he's, you know, he's good going down the field. He's a tough matchup guy for the defense, and you know, I think he's been helped by some of the production from our other players, the running game, and the receivers and the backs and so forth. So, you know, it just helps everybody.
He looks to scoop in balls that you can't believe he scoops in. And I know they talk about catching radius now. That's a big term that's used. Is that basically what we're talking about, that he can get to balls that a lot of guys just can't get to with that catching radius?
Right, yeah. I'd say that his ability to handle, you know, high balls with his reach, low balls on either side of him, he's got a great, you know, he's got a lot of range. And he's got good hands. He catches the ball with his hands well, so he doesn't have to body it up and doesn't have to be close to him. He can reach out and get it.
Talking about your receivers, what do you think of Price's performance?
You know, I thought Taylor had an opportunity and did a good job on a couple patterns. And again, there's some other things he needs to work on and some blocking things and assignments and all that. But, you know, he did a nice job coming inside, catching the ball. He went up. I thought that really the catch he made on that third and whatever it was, five, right in front of Miami's bench on a kind of a hitch route there. They really went up and went up high to get the ball. It looked like it was going to be overthrown, and he made a good catch on that, came down, took a good hit, but got the first down. I thought that was, you know, probably his best play. But, no, he had some opportunities, and he showed up, and he made them. So, I mean, that was good.
Being a big surprise is the law firm, 1,000 yards, and he got it in the game. How much of a surprise was that guy? And a lot of people didn't think he had a back, and he came up with no fumbles this year and averaging 4.3 yards a carry. That's a pretty special year.
All right, well, Benny's been a solid player for us, I think, all the way through. You know, he hasn't, you know, he's had different degrees of playing time, but when he's had an opportunity to play, he's been productive, and that's been in preseason and in regular season games. And, you know, this year I think he got off to a good start, got an opportunity, made the most of it, and has been very dependable for us. You know, he's picked up a lot of solid yardage week after week, down after down, not a lot of negative plays. And so, you know, he's done a good job, broken a couple good runs, and, you know, really helped our team, you know, give us give our offense a good power game in there. And it's been a good compliment with Woodhead, who's been, you know, probably a little more of an elusive runner, but Benny has, you know, a little more power, can push the pile and, you know, pick up those tough yards.
I mean, that's so unusual, carry the ball that many times and not cough it up. What is he doing with this ball protection? Why is it that it's so difficult that ball doesn't squirt loose at all, Bill? Because he's getting banged around there. I mean, he's a kid that bounces off of people, and he's getting banged around.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, first of all, it's concentration and awareness of it, but second of all, it's good technique. It's running with your pads down and, you know, being able to keep your pads and your weight over the ball, not running straight up and down, giving the defense a lot of extra shots at it. So, but, you know, Benny's very conscious of it, and he plays with good ball security, good ball discipline.
How much difference
is
it?
How bad's the cold?
Just your question choked him up. How much difference is his blitz pickup? He seems to be pretty good at blitz pickup and understanding where he should be.
Yeah, well, Benny's a tough kid, and he'll step up there and hit anybody, and he's certainly come a long way. I'd say that's one of the things he had to work the hardest on from his rookie years. Blitz pickup and just seeing pass protection, sub-blitzes, and recognition of different fronts and those kind of things that he's really improved on that. I think actually just standing in there and blocking them, he's always been pretty solid there. But the recognition, the anticipation, knowing when a guy's coming, when he's faking, and trying to get you to stay in and get you out of your route and those kind of things, you know, he's become a lot more adept at that.
I'm not big on the whole body language thing, but when Tom was finally out of the game, it looked like he was a little bit angry, and he was still involved. He's looking over Billy O'Brien's shoulder, and he's spending time on the sideline with Hoyer and going through pictures with him. It was just he was still seemed eminently involved even when he was out of the game. Do you find that's his ethic, or that's what he's about?
Well, I hope he was ready in case he had to go back in, because right. he might have gone back in the game. That wasn't out of the question. You know, Tom loves the game. He prepares well, studies a lot of film. He's really into it. So, you know, whether he's playing or not playing or watching film or practicing, you know, he likes football. I think he enjoys the not only the competitiveness of it, but the mental part of the situations and, you know, just thinking ahead and being alert to different things that can come up. You know, it's a good time to practice it as during a game. You know, it's watching film is one thing, but when you're out there in a game, that's when you actually have, you know, the true amount of time. And as quickly as situations change in the NFL, it's a good opportunity to practice it mentally, even though you're not out there actually taking the plays.
What can your veterans give to these younger players about playoffs and about what's expected of them?
Well, I think everybody really needs to understand veterans or rookies or anybody in between. I think everybody just needs to understand what's at stake here. And, you know, it's single elimination. It's one bad play, one mistake, and you're done. So that goes for everybody. Doesn't matter who's on the field. Each and every one of us has to understand that and do our best to be well prepared and execute to the absolute top level that we can get to. So that'll be the message for everybody.
You know, Tom was asked about rookies, you know, all the bunch of rookies you have on. One thing he says is rookies don't know anything, you know, coming here. And so is it easier sometimes to take a rookie that hasn't been, had another system, where you had to unteach them what they learned in the past, like a Galloway, and teach them a new system, or teach them from a blank slate, knowing that he's going to listen to you, and that this will be the first time he's dealing with the NFL coach?
Yeah, I think there certainly could be a lot of truth to that, Fred, where you don't have to unteach bad habits or just relearn things. You can just learn them right from scratch. And I think in some respects it's a lot easier for a player to do that. Now, that means they have a lot more to learn, and there's some things that are going to happen that they don't totally understand how it all fits together. But you're not trying to break bad habits or unlearn things before you can relearn them in a new system. So I think there are some benefit to that, absolutely.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and spend a few more minutes with the coach. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium. It's Patriots Monday.
Sports Radio WEEI.
At our accounting firm, we know a thing or two about the value of a dollar. That's why keeping our slow DSL just didn't add up, and why we switched to Comcast Business Class. Now we have fast, high-speed internet at an affordable price. So to all the other CPAs out there crunching the numbers, catch us if you can.
You don't have to run a company full of accountants to appreciate the speed and value that comes from switching to Comcast Business Class. Right now, you can get Business Class Internet and Voice for just $99 a month. $99 a month? That's a great deal on high-speed internet that's faster than both DSL and T1. And a phone plan with loads of business features included. Everything you need to make your company faster and more productive. Call 800-391-3000 now to sign up for Business Class Internet and Voice for just $99 a month. Value made easy from Comcast Business Class. Turn your business into a fast business. New customers only. Requires one-year contract. Early termination fees apply. Equipment, installation taxes, franchise, and phone fees extra.
Hey, everyone. It's Jay Farner here at Quicken Loans. The mortgage market is starting to move, but rates are still incredibly low. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is 4.75%. APR, 4.95%. Recently, J.D. Power & Associates ranked us highest in customer satisfaction in primary mortgage origination. So give Quicken Loans a call today at 866-QUICKEN or visit us online at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, nationwide mortgage licensing system number 3030.
Coming to Boston for a weekend getaway? Looking for a hotel that won't break your budget? Stay at the Boston Hotel Buckminster. For over 100 years, the Buckminster has hosted millions of visitors. Located in the heart of Kenmore Square, just one block from the ballpark in Boston's famous Lansdowne Street, the Boston Hotel Buckminster is your choice for convenient, comfortable, and affordable accommodations. Visit bostonhotelbuckminster.com or call 800-727-BUCK. Boston Hotel Buckminster. The whole city is just outside their door.
If you have ever invited anyone to the gun show, Planet Fitness is not your gym. If you have a tattoo of a bicep on your bicep, Planet Fitness is not your gym. If your IQ is lower than your BMI, you drink creatine from a gallon jug, and you find it necessary to use your abs to count to six, Planet Fitness is not your gym. If you're not allowed to hold babies for fear you might crush them, Planet Fitness is not your gym. If you have trouble reading a phone book, but can easily rip one in half, Planet Fitness is not your gym. If you commonly refer to steroids as breakfast, Planet Fitness is not your gym. But if you just want to work out in a place where you're not surrounded by big muscle heads like these, Planet Fitness is your gym.
Now till January 12th, join Planet Fitness for just $20 down, then $10 a month. Planet Fitness, this is your planet. Home club only, annual membership fee applies, participating locations only. Planet Fitness facilities are independently owned and operated. Incentives offered for enrolling in other memberships. See club for details.
Counselor, your witness.
So, where were you on the date in question?
Well, I was at home working.
Your Honor, I move for a one-hour recess.
On what grounds?
I've got a serious craving for teriyaki sirloin at the 99.
When your craving hits,
stand
by. Gotta go to the 99 restaurants. Choose from 9 crave-worthy classics, each for only $9.99. Like teriyaki sirloin, a flame-broiled, marinated 7-ounce steak finished with a sesame pineapple sauce, jasmine rice, and pea pods. Or balsamic grilled chicken, 2 lemon rosemary garlic chicken breasts, flame-broiled with a balsamic glaze and served with vegetables. These aren't appetizers dressed up to look like dinner. We're talking real-size entrees with bold flavors that are sure to satisfy, no matter what you're craving.
You want me to hold up this trial so you can go to the 99?
Oh, they also have an amazing balsamic grilled chicken.
Okay. I'll allow it.
The 99 restaurant. Great meal, great deal.
All right, back here on the Big Show on Patriots Monday. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium. Glenn Ordway, Freddie Smirlis, Steve DiAzzi, and the coach, Bill Belichick. Other than the margin of error, which you've already referred to, very, very small margin of error when you get into a playoff game, what changes the most from the regular season to the playoffs?
It's
the style? Well, anything changed that you do differently that seems to be a trend out there?
Well, of course, every team's a good team. Not that there aren't good teams in the NFL, but those are the best teams. So, you know, whoever we play next week will be a team that has won a playoff game. So that right away puts them up there in the upper echelon of the league. I mean, that's what the competition is. You're playing the best teams.
Is there a secret? Like, if some teams come in and try and do change things dramatically, it also could fall on their face because it's not something they're used to doing. Right? Obviously, everyone knows everyone's tendencies, but is it trying to keep things that you've done well during the season, refine them a little bit? And, you know, you always want to put a different wrinkle in it, but if you put too much of a wrinkle, it might hurt you.
Well, I mean, I think that's your challenge every week. There's a fine line there between trying to keep the other team off balance and doing something that you can't really do, trying to do too much. So you have to find that right mix of what your team can execute, and at the same time, what's a little bit of a key breaker for your opponents, so they're not just, you know, zeroed in on everything you've done in the past. And I don't know that you want to keep doing that and just play into all your tendencies, but you definitely don't want to do something that you can't execute. So that's kind of, you got to find that right spot, sweet spot.
In Kansas City, there's a couple of coaches that you're very familiar with, Charlie and Romeo. Advantage or disadvantage in the playoffs or in any time?
In the end, I think it's, you know, this is a player's game. The players go out there on the field. They're the ones that block and tackle and run and catch and kick and throw. Those are the guys that make the plays. You know, I don't make any tackles or any runs or anything. So, this is a good thing. So
we leave that to the Jets. Leave that to the Jets coaches.
So, you know, I think, you know, coaching and all that, it's, you know, familiarity and so forth. I mean, it's, you know, it's an intriguing thing for the media and all that. But I mean, in the end, it comes down to, you know, being able to go out there and play better than the other team and make plays, make more plays than they do. So yeah. I think that's really what it comes down to.
When you talk about the familiarity, and Steve asked you the question earlier about preparing for the game or whatever, Kansas City's a team that you probably haven't seen as much. You've seen Pittsburgh already, and you wouldn't get them until a couple weeks from now. But Baltimore, obviously, and the Jets are two teams that you could face. Those are teams that you've both seen. Do you have to put more time? Does your scouting staff, they have to put more time in Kansas City right now?
Well, our scouting department's looking at all, you know, we look at all the teams. We'll break down films of all three of them because we don't know which one we're going to get, so we'll have to be ready for whichever one that is.
Who learns more? The big thing you brought up, you know, guys that coached under you, but they know you, but how much difference would that make than you knowing them? I mean, obviously you both know each other, but how much does it really play a factor in what you're going to call and where you're going to call it?
Yeah, I think that's probably less important. I think what's maybe more of a factor is the person that would be with a team and then go to a new team, they would know all the personnel or most of the personnel on the team that they were with. So knowing their strengths, their weaknesses, their tendencies, maybe things that they may know that you would or wouldn't want to do with a certain player or a special skill that he might have, like a halfback pass or something like that. I think that the knowledge of the personnel on your team it's probably more of an advantage than just knowing what the X's and O's are, because you can get those off film anyway.
Since Randy Moss left, what has changed the most in your defense? It's offense. It just seems like they're running at a fine, higher level. They're more well-tuned. It seems more balanced, and there's one voice out there. But what has made them work so much better together?
Well, I think our offense has been pretty productive all year. We've had our moments, sometimes better than others, so I just think it's really overall execution as a unit. There isn't any one player or one thing that we, I think, totally rely on. We try to run the ball inside, outside, play action pass, throw it, use our receivers, our tight ends, our backs. I think everything really kind of feeds off each other. And if you have well-balanced offense, I know defensively it's hard to defend when you're worried about everything as opposed to just trying to stop one guy or one type of a play. So I think if we can stay balanced, that's the best thing for our offense, no matter who's in there. We use a lot of different people, and we've had a number of players give us good contributions. So I think that just gives us more balance.
The advantages of a bye week seem fairly obvious. Is there anything you have to watch out for during a bye week?
Well, I just think that the big thing on the bye week is we have a little bit extra time here. It's just like having the bye week during the regular season. We have a little bit extra time, and time's only valuable if you use it. So if you waste it, then I don't really know what value that time has. So hopefully we can use the time and improve as a football team, become better than become better next week than we are this week at little things, at situations, at our overall execution and performance level. So that's what we'll try to do.
Having played the last 9, 10, whatever weeks at such a high level and fairly efficiently, is there a chance of that of a drop off in that efficiency or a drop off in that concentration with the off week?
Well, I think there's always a chance that you know that your performance won't be as good as it was previously. I think that's it can be that way in anything. Mm-hmm. So you got to keep working on it. You got to keep fine tuning it, and you've got to prepare and be ready for your opponent. And we know we're going to face a good one, whoever it is. So we got to do our best to be at our best, and that's our goal.
Coach, a lot of people always ask what Bill Belichick's like. You had a 14-2 season. You get a bye week this week. What did you do after last night's game, being 14-2 and coming out in good condition?
Honestly,
watch film.
I went home and I fell asleep watching the Seattle-St. Louis game.
That's an exciting
How can you
life?
Fall asleep during that? Did you learn anything from that coaching style?
Well, that's funny because Fred went home and fell asleep to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, so it's kind of the same scenario.
The question was asked to a lot of the defensive players after the game yesterday. How is it that this defense seemed to get so much better as the season progressed? And to a man, they all seem to say the same thing. We finally bought in to what the coaching staff was telling us. Vince Wilfork went as far as saying that in that Cleveland game, we've been a lot different since then because it suddenly clicked. Did it click, or was this a progression here? And when you have a bad game like that, can that also help sell your message and the coaching staff's message that if you don't do it the right way, fellas, this is what's going to happen?
Well, I think after that game, the thing that we all felt like as a team, offense, defense, special teams, just that if we play like that, we really can't beat anybody. You know, we just can't win playing a game the way we played that one. All the things that we felt like we needed to do, we really didn't do, and the things that we said couldn't happen happened. So, unfortunately, it was a tough day, but I think if the positive could be if you can learn something from a bad experience, then maybe it's worth it. You know, you hate to have that happen, but if we learned anything from that game that helped us in the future games, then I guess it was then maybe it was a lesson that we needed to learn.
One thing you always talk about is Crumpler, the leadership and kind of good guy that he is. When you brought in the two young tight ends, was bringing him in thought of before the young guys, or was that afterwards to help mentor them?
Well, absolutely. Before we signed him in March, and of course we didn't know how the draft was going to go, or who we were going to draft, who was going to be there. So, drafting Gronkowski first, and then Hernandez later in the draft. That all happened after we signed Crumpler.
Just worked out well.
It worked out great. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could sit here and say, well, yeah, I was smart enough to know all that was going to happen, but. I really didn't, but the way it really worked out perfectly. I don't think you could ask for a better setup for two players like Aaron and Rob to come in and learn from an experienced, quality leader than Algie. So he's a good player. He's a solid guy. He's very professional. He knows how to prepare, and he's a great role model for not only the tight ends but really anybody on our football team. So, that's a good combination.
But think of that, to have a guy like that, these young kids that haven't been around football, and to see his example of how to prepare and how to lead as opposed to some knucklehead. Sometimes you're influenced by some knucklehead. But would Gronkowski has been a successful Hernandez without him there?
Well, I think that they certainly have benefited from, his example. And at the same time, I think he's benefited from them in terms of the overall balance that it's brought to the position. And really it's worked both ways. What is that called?
You're a genius.
In nature, a symbiotic relationship or something like that. So.
Yeah. Right. But the downfield blocking, we talked a lot about that during the course of the season. How big a factor has that been, Bill? I mean, yards after the catch, we talked a lot about that. We've seen some long runs here by Danny Woodhead, but the downfield blocking just seems to be so much better than what I remember from a year ago. How important has Crumpler been in some of that?
Well, most of his blocking is at the point of attack on the line of scrimmage. The downfield blocking comes more from the receivers, and I think the backs and receivers have done a good job of breaking tackles. Like the play to Tate yesterday was a 5-6 yard pass that ends up being a whatever, 40-yard run, so 40-yard play, something like that. So, you know, those kind of plays, it's, you know, it's a lot of hidden yardage, and it's a good extra effort by the guy with the ball or downfield blocking, you know, like on Woodhead's run against Indianapolis, and, you know, Benny's run last week or 2 weeks ago was against Green Bay. Where he cut it back and picked up a block from Branch and Welker downfield. So, you know, it's they go hand in hand. And again, there's nothing that helps the passing game more than a good running game, and I think our receivers understand that, that, you know, whenever we break a run, that just helps set up an opening for a play-action pass eventually. So, really, they work together.
Bill, I understand that, that records and numbers are secondary to championships, but how gratifying is it as a coach to set a record only 10 turnovers in the season? It's got to be something that's just for coaching and a coach and a coaching staff. It's got to be very gratifying.
Well, I think the big thing is the winning and anything that helps us win, whether that's not turning the ball over or scoring points or not committing penalties or whatever it happens to be. If it helps you win, then that's important, and it's certainly something that you like to see from your team. So, and that's been a big factor in us winning this year, the turnover differential, our ability to get the ball, to not give up the ball, and we've also been fortunate in that we've scored, I think it's 9 touchdowns this year on defense and special teams. So, you know, that's a lot of points that you really don't account for. It's nice to get them, but it's, you know, it's hard to go into a game saying, well, we're going to, you know, we're going to get 7 bonus points on some kind of return play or something. So that's, you know, those plays have been huge for us from the first game against Cincinnati with Gary's interception return to yesterday's game on Julian's punt return. We've come in a lot of different areas, punt returns, block kicks, kick returns, fumbles, fumble return against the Bears, interception returns. So it's been a combination of different things, but the end result is been big, great bonus points for us.
All right, time right now for today's Coach's Question of the Week. It's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Compare new and used cars side by side at AutoTrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace and proud partner of Patriots football. Fred?
Coach, you have an extra week to prepare for the next game. What is your schedule going to be, and how much rest are you going to give these guys to prepare properly for this game?
Well, we'll be off this weekend. We'll practice this week for a couple days, probably Wednesday, Thursday. We'll see how it goes with Friday and then come back next week and, you know, get ready for the Sunday game. So, you know, good week, couple days here, Monday, Tuesday, and then, you know, good weekend, and then we'll be back to work.
All right, Coach, been a terrific regular season, but as you said after the game yesterday, we all started 0 now.
That's it.
Into the second season. We'll be back here next week, and we'll talk about your opponent. We'll know that come Sunday night, and we'll talk about it on Monday.
All right, thanks.
Have a good week.
Congrats, Bill.
Okay. That's the Coach. We're
Thank
right
you.
Back at you right after this.